The novelist Angela Carter, who died aged just 51 in 1992, was fascinated by fairy tales and the Gothic and was often inspired by paintings. Her short stories and novels, including Nights at the Circus, were full of very visual ideas, and she wrote compelling films such as The Company of Wolves, a sexualised retelling of Little Red Riding Hood. Now, a new exhibition at the Royal West of England Academy in Bristol, where she lived for many years, has brought together paintings that inspired her and artworks that reflect her enduring influence on British culture. Curator Marie Mulvey Roberts says she first fell in love with Carter's writing when she read her book, The Bloody Chamber.
What really struck me about her was the extraordinary visual quality of her writing. She actually said, "I always think first in images, then grope for the words." And she felt that this visual expression was kind of taking over and that she didn't trust words anymore.
The exhibition does include a lot of paintings that she was directly influenced by. I gather she said she wanted to write like Marc Chagall paints. You have an image, I think, in the exhibition. What influence did they have on her, do you think?
Well, that particular painting is Blue Circus, and we've got an image of a woman twisting on a trapeze surrounded by these animal figures. And that reminded me of her novel Nights at the Circus, where we have the main character is a trapeze artist called Feathers, who's actually got real wings. And this woman is very powerful and takes up space. And there's another painting by Paul Arago called The Artist in Her Studio. And here again, we have a woman who's in command of her territory, taking up space. Women are socialised to take up space, and yet this is what she's doing, and this is what Feathers, this woman who's physically large and larger than life, flying through the air, is doing as well.
Angela Carter made a film for Channel 4 in 1991. It was so controversial it's never been repeated since, The Holy Family Album, which showed her thinking about paintings of Jesus and Mary as if they were photos in God's family album.
The Holy Father never features in any of the pictures of his only son, but he photographed him obsessively, the most assiduous photographer of all time.
You've picked out some of the paintings that she looked at. One of them was this William Holman Hunt painting, The Shadow of Death. It is very striking. Tell me about it and what do you think her fascination with it was?
Yes, I think this is such an uncanny picture, really, because it's a foreboding of Christ's actual crucifixion, because we see the shadow in the background, and yet we have this radiant young man in the peak of his youth with his arms outstretched. So there's a darkness there. And I think this darkness runs through Angela Carter's work. She herself was an atheist, and this film was very irreverent. It was banned in Ireland and it was seen as blasphemous. So demythologizing was one of her missions. And she also had a very strong materialist sense. She wasn't sort of airy-fairy, as some people might represent her.
Angela Carter is also very famous for her kind of adult and very female-centric retellings of fairy tales, like Red Riding Hood, in the film The Company of Wolves.
Jesus, what big teeth you have!
All the better to eat you with.
There are a lot of works in your exhibition that play with that imagery. Some are paintings around different fairy tale themes. Tell me about a couple of them and how far you sense that her writing may have influenced and shaped the way younger artists have been exploring those themes, even if they didn't always read her.
Yes, absolutely. We have a painting by Marcel Hanselaar of Red Riding Hood, and this is very far from a chocolate boxy representation, because the wolf is gazing at Red Riding Hood and she's actually naked underneath the cloak. But she has a very knowing look, and in many ways you can see her as more predatory than the wolf itself.
And what's really striking, look at the images you've pulled together in this exhibition, is how some of them are very real. They have that tactile quality and that slightly nightmarish sense of a fairy tale gone wrong.
Indeed. I think the most explicit example, really, is Anna Maria Pacheco's The Banquet. That's an extraordinary installation. It takes up an entire gallery with very dim lighting, the walls are painted grey, and you get four giant figures sitting around a table with giant heads with human teeth set in them, and there's a man stretched out, taut on the table, in anticipation of something that's going to happen, and it's called The Feast, and the obvious implication of that is cannibalism. And Angela Carter, who can be very much seen as a Gothic writer, she said that the two great themes of the Gothic are cannibalism and incest, and these figures look so identical that you can actually bring those two themes together in this one piece.
I gather in going through her literary archive and researching where she lived and worked, which included Bath as well as Bristol, you've come across a recording of her singing. Tell me about that.
Well, we have the only known recording of Angela Carter singing. And it isn't widely known that she was very involved in the folk scene revival in Bristol in the 1960s with her husband, Paul Carter. And they founded a traditional folk club. She's singing unaccompanied. It's called Martha the Flower of Sweet Strabane. And in doing this, she was really transcribing an oral tradition. And when she left Bristol and the folk scene behind her, she continued with another oral tradition, which was, of course, fairy and folk tale. And Bristol is really where it all started.
Marie Mulvey Roberts on Angela Carter. And the exhibition Strange World, The Vision of Angela Carter is at the Royal West of England Academy in Bristol until the 19th of March. You can find out all about upcoming interviews by following us on Twitter at BBC Front Row.